7 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, a segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Got a big weekend ahead. Now, Dr. Bill says we have some pretty heavy storms coming through Saturday night into Sunday morning. But if you want to get out Saturday, maybe later in the day Sunday, maybe you want to get out and do the South Sounds Music Festival, whatever you're getting out and doing, you had honeydews on your list. If they involve moving junk, get them off the list now by going online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or picking up the phone at 1-800-GOT-JUNK and making that appointment to have Trey and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK come to your house or your business or wherever you got the junk and get it gone. How about a storage unit? When's the last time you took an assessment of what you have in the storage unit? You pay every month on it, but do you really need the stuff that's in there? Is it junk? Well, if the answer is yes, get 1-800-GOT-JUNK to come get it gone. 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and give them a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Also, program note, we are on the USS Alabama on the Fantail today to do Midday Mobile. And I got a couple of different people on social media asking me if I spotted Steven Seagal today or yesterday when I went up there to check the equipment.
Did you?
I did not. But oddly enough, today, Steven Seagal's birthday.
Oh, man.
Just with that question, then the thing pops up here and it says, happy birthday, John Madden. How old do you think Madden is?
83.
Man, you knew it.
I read it this morning.
How old do you think Steven Seagal is?
29.
67. 67. And a man that's younger than both of them, but he is much wiser. Our buddy Jeff Poor with Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and host of the Jeff Poor Radio Show on WVNN in Huntsville. Good morning. We lose him.
We may have lost.
Let's see
Jeff.
If we go to him and see if that's, see if that's is that okay? There, he, Jeff, we got you.
You got me. I am not working this morning.
that's frightening. Hopefully, it's. I hate it for you, but I hope it's on your end and not ours because we have a big remote broadcast today.
Could be Steven Seagal trying to tie in
that
on the island.
Quite possibly is true. So, Jeff, lots of talk about from a national front and a local front or state front. Let's first go national and A.G. Barr and his, what was that, testimony, a report? What do we call that?
That was testimony. It was before the Appropriations Committee. So you know how they do these agencies and departments and cabinet departments. They go before their respective congressional committees. And that's how they figure out or justify whatever they want in the budget for funding.
Okay. So, and I mean, there were questions, but there were a lot of, like, statements yesterday, too, just Democrats trying to get on the record, right?
Yeah, that was the whole point of that. They wanted to get him on the record. And Nita Lowry, who's the chairwoman, she wanted to get him talking about the Mueller report because ultimately, I guess constitutionally, you want to say that the Congress has the power to purse string. And if the executive isn't cooperating with the legislative branch, then that's really their ultimate authority. They have other powers as well, but they can they use the power to purse string, and that's how they got onto the Mueller report topic.
Okay, so they're talking Mueller report, and a couple things, the areas of redaction. The idea, it seems like some Democrats are saying, oh, well, the redacted things, that's the juicy stuff. To me, I mean, there's got to be methods and, you know, how we get information, all these things. They have to be redacted, right? I mean, that's a thing that has happened before in reports. I mean, this is nothing new.
Yeah, methods, means and methods, intelligence, and also grand jury testimony. Well, we talked about this before, the reasons why they don't want grand jury testimony out there. So that gets redacted. I'm sure it's not going to satisfy a lot of Democrats, but I do think that the White House will win on the Trump administration will win on that front.
To me, though, if almost like I said with the Mueller report, Democrats should have wanted it to never come out because they could use it as a foil. Same thing here. If the Mueller report, with the redactions, they should want the redactions in there because they could always use that for fundraising or saying, well, what y'all don't know is the stuff in the redactions. That's the real stuff. It's not out, but it's the real stuff. You know it is.
Right, and I suspect you're right. A lot of problems don't get solved in Washington for that reason, because they got to be used as some kind of political tool. some kind of means for fundraising. I think that's the case for, immigration. You go down the line of things, but definitely on this Russia collusion stuff, it was a narrative that's too big to fail, and they need to figure out how to keep it going. And I don't think it's something that necessarily will win the Democrats 2020, but I do think there's enough Democrat-based voters. They're so invested in this narrative, and they can't just let it die and say, oops, we were wrong. They got to figure out how to wean the base off of it. And I think you'll start to see a few Democrats start talking about, well, we need to move on from the Russia probe. We're not going to get him with this. The only way we're going to get him is at the ballot box. Let's talk about kitchen table issues. Let's talk about stuff that matters to the American people. You're starting to see a little bit of that, I think, from some of the presidential candidates, but I suspect you'll start seeing more and more as we head into 2020.
Jeff, you tweeted yesterday something along the lines of this Mueller report just isn't as hot as it used to be, and you used how many channels were actually showing Barr in front of the during that testimony. You said that not many TV stations have been showing that anymore.
Well, so when Michael Cohen testified before the House Intel, he testified before two committees, the Elijah Cummings Committee Oversight and the House Intel Committee. When the Intelligence Committee hearing was closed, but I think the oversight hearing was open to the public, and it was there for everybody to see, and it went wall-to-wall on the three broadcast channels, ABC, NBC, and CBS. That's a big deal. That's very Watergate-esque. That is when, it reminds me of Oliver North and times throughout history when we have to go wall-to-wall and interrupt The Price is Right, interrupt Days of Our Lives, interrupt all your daytime TV to put this on television. That tells you it's a big deal. Well, I would think that the Mueller report was such a big deal still, they would have interrupted it yesterday to put Attorney General William Barr's testimony before the Appropriations Committee just to get some news on the Mueller report. They did not do that. They stuck to their regular programming. And I think that might tell you what you need to know about sort of where the media is on whatever's damning in the Mueller report.
Also, speaking of the media's take on the president, say the president's cleaning house. Kirstjen Nielsen out and then others. I mean, what do you think's happening?
I think this is the retooling that we've been waiting for. If you're one of the diehard Trump supporters, really the. And I keep saying this, I think there's a segment of Trump's base that's not happy with him, with his handling of the wall and the border situation. It's not entirely Donald Trump's fault. It is the environment we're in where, first of all, Democrats aren't going to work with the president. But on the other hand, they're just, for whatever reason, migrants and these caravans are coming to the border trying to come across. And people see that. The optics are bad, and they say, well, in 2016, he ran on being the guy that was going to stop all of this, and it's just getting worse. And I think most of Trump's base recognizes that there are some realities that the president has to deal with, but there's a segment out there that doesn't think that he is doing enough. I think it's the Ann Coulter sort of wing of the base, and I think what he's acknowledging this and the shakeup within the White House, within the administration, is a way to address that. I don't entirely buy the notion that it's Stephen Miller, one of his advisors, is pushing all of this. I think it's not a coincidence Donald Trump goes down to the border, and then 2 days later, he lets go of his Department of Homeland Security secretary.
Also yesterday, a big story for the president, and that is doing what he does is, living up to campaign promises. And, he talked about tariffs and the uneven deal the U.S. is getting. And it's been one thing when it's been dealing with China. But now the EU, he's talked about it before, but now saying he's going to put some real muscle into tariffs against the EU. And yeah, they had that'll affect the price of French wine and Gouda cheese and all that stuff. Yeah. But then it came to specifically Airbus, and that's a big deal back here at home in Southwest Alabama.
Or remember this whole Airbus saga when they bid for the tanker contract.
Sure.
And the bid, Airbus had won the initial one, and then they appealed it, a Boeing did, and the reason was they said that the European Union was unfairly subsidizing Airbus, so they threw out the bids, and then Boeing got it eventually. I think it's just the same thing going on here, and this is what Donald Trump's way of dealing with it. It's I don't know what else to say about it other than what how does Boeing justify what they get in the form of, I'm not saying direct subsidies, but they get a lot of tax breaks. Mm-hmm. They get a lot of help from the American government. We've seen it. We're on both sides of this question. And so I, you know, it's hard to side with the European Union against your own president on this question. But there are some questions about Boeing. And I think these tariffs could result in some kind of retaliatory retaliation. You know, well, who's to say that there won't be an escalation of this? These airline builders, I mean, these aircraft builders, they play really dirty if we know anything. So I would watch this really close.
You know, it is interesting as you look at the tariff situation and a state like Alabama, and then we'll get even more narrow here to Southwest Alabama, but a state like Alabama with foreign auto manufacturers here, you know, you would say, well, you got to defend the American company. Well, but it's not a Ford and Chevy plant in Alabama. You know, it's Mercedes and it's Hyundai and it's Toyota Mazda. And in our case down here, it's companies like Austal from Australia and Airbus from France. I mean, this is those jobs. I mean, if people look at it firsthand, those jobs are actually, you know, way more important than what happens with Chevy or Ford or Boeing.
And I'm not saying that the European Union and Airbus play dirty, but they're doing that for a reason. They do recognize that Boeing plays very dirty, and unless you're willing to acknowledge that, then this problem will just get worse, I think, and that's where the rub is. Boeing carries a lot of power, a lot of clout. Washington, D.C. Boeing's big up here in Huntsville, where I broadcast out of. So they got their tentacles and everything. And I do think that they get a lot of breaks from the federal government. That gives them an advantage, not just here, but globally.
Yeah, they've got facilities here in Huntsville and down in southeast Alabama and Daleville. When we come back from the break, Jeff, I'm going to have you make the call. If you're Bradley Byrne in AL1, if you got to make a comment here on these tariffs, what do you say? We'll get that answer when we come back with Jeff right here on Mobile Mornings. Y'all stay close. Right, 23 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings Wednesday style. Sean Dalton, Dr. Bill Kane with traffic. A reminder, too, that you have a chance to win Jim Gaffigan tickets sometime between now and 9. You can do the math. Not much time left. It means it'll happen sometime very soon. Talking with our buddy Jeff Poor. And remember, Jeff, when the nappies come up for your favorite Lanyap rider, we're through the nomination period, but I'm just telling you for the next step, make sure to vote for him. Because I guess I'm in charge of his campaign still. Have I been fired this year or not yet?
We're still in the exploratory committee phase right now.
All right. I want to get your take on the question that it just came to mind yesterday. So with this tariff talk and how big Airbus is here in Southwest Alabama in AL1, if you're Congressman Bradley Byrne, do you say anything? If you do, what do you say?
Well, since he's spending most of his time up here in North Alabama these days, getting out to know people, I don't think it's going to come up. If it does, it's going to be somebody like me asking about it. But I don't know that it comes up. And if it does, I think you've got to stick with the hometown peeps, right? I mean, and I think that Airbus is such a bigger employer than Boeing statewide that, you know, net, it's you've got to go with your hometown.
I agree. I think that's the right move. We'll see if anything, if he does say anything and get on the record with it. All right, let's bring it back home to Alabama and back in session this week. And budget bills, part of the discussion now. What do you think? What's your take on it?
It seems like it's going to get through fairly easily. Yesterday, the House voted on it. I think it was nearly unanimous. I don't think that's the hot button right now. I think this was already kind of ironed out way beforehand with the governor. It was Steve Klaus, who's the chairman of the budget committee in the House, with Arthur Orr, who's the chairman in the Senate. I think those two really got a handle on it early on. And this legislature session's a little strange because you just don't have as much conflict. Other than the gas tax in the special session, we're not having these he's a lot of feuds and all the weirdness with the fists flying and stuff like that, and the name calling like you may have had in the past in the Alabama legislature.
I do want to get that weirdness though. This cut and paste, you know, no ability to ban plastic bags bill that came out of Senate committee yesterday. That one got my attention.
Yeah, so that's I would watch that. I could see it getting killed in the House. That's where a lot of things go to die. Here's a really strange phenomenon. In most years in the Alabama legislature, where you see stuff like this about banning the stuff that has your attention, like the cell phone bill is another example where you can't touch your cell phone while you're driving.
Right.
Usually it's the Senate that has the cooler head and prevails. A lot of times in the legislature this session, it's the House that's pumping the brakes.
That's weird. That is weird.
I would say that. Remember the Common Core repeal with Del Marsh? It's the House that is going to pump the brakes. So that's you'll still see the House pass stuff that's like wow, and then it'll go die in the Senate. But there's a lot of times it's the other way around.
What about this? Is because part of the funding bills, right, and the budget bills, in this case with a 2% pay raise for state employees, but also funding for 500 additional corrections officers for Alabama. This goes hand in glove with that DOJ report. Now, this prison issue we've been talking about for years, y'all, but now it's finally come home to roost, right, with this pretty scathing report.
Yeah, and I talked to different people about this. We had Senator Cam Ward on from Alabaster yesterday on my show. He's kind of the go-to guy on the prisons in the Senate. Now, he thinks that this letter is going to kind of light a fire in the legislature and that they will address it. Now, my colleague Sean Ross at Yellowhammer News, he's in the Senate and the House press galleries every day. He's there every day. He thinks what will happen is ultimately, they're going to call a special session to deal with this. It may not happen under regular order. Now, could the special session happen again like it did with the gas tax? It could. They could call it mid-session and try to go at it with that and really push some of these members that have in the past been obstacles because they didn't want to lose their facilities in their districts to get along with the program. It's going to be a lot tougher, I think, than the gas tax was using that tactic to be successful.
You know, talking to Senator Ward the other day, he said to me in so many words, we got to take something good to the DOJ this is a scathing letter. It's not like everything has to be fixed immediately, but we have to basically present a plan that shows we've got a way to get out of this and we're working on it right now. It may not all be done right now, but it has to be a believable timeline, right, to get this fixed. So they have to present that to the DOJ.
Yes, they do, and they'll show they're making progress, I think is maybe the way to put it. Now, the ultimate play is still on the table. Ivy could call, just say she's going to go at it on her own, and she could say she's going to do this build lease thing, and then that's. But to me, right now, that's looking like the most likely of the options. But yeah, the DOJ is going to have to see progress, or they will take over the Alabama prison system. And, you know, there may be a lot of people that think, well, just let them have it. But then it becomes a very costly, very, very costly endeavor for the state. Because you have to look at the cost for what it takes to take it out of that situation and get it back where the state runs it.
No, I mean, I've been preaching on this for years now. I mean, 3-4 years about this, looking at the example that happened in California, and we don't want that happening here for sure. All right, Jeff, we're going to end up running out of time, but we'll talk about this going forward, more about this move, maybe executive branch move for Governor Ivey on this and how it would all work. Remind folks, want to get in touch with you, see what you're talking about, what you're writing about, and catching up on the state of Alabama news and national. How do they find you?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
And I'm not fired yet as your campaign manager for the Nappies?
You had to demote you to like finance chairman or something.
Okay, so I knew I'd take some punishment here. Okay, I already take my legs. All right, man.
Send, I'm gonna... send, 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 send the checks to cash.
Okay, I will do that. I will make sure that I bundle lots of money and see if I can get myself back into running Jeff's campaign. All right, 8:30 FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back. Taking your calls and lots to talk about here. Also locally with Mobile City Council yesterday. Pretty interesting meeting there. Let's do this as well. Looking for caller number 6 right now at 343-0106. Have a pair of tickets for you to go check out Jim Gaffigan and the Quality Time Tour. It's going to be at the Wharf Amphitheater Saturday, May 11th. Tickets on sale now. Ticketmaster.com or Wharf Box Office. Caller number 6. Got a pair of tickets to the show. Good luck.
.837 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Dalton, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I am doing fantastic. Now, right now at McConnell Automotive, huge savings on all of the vehicles on the lot. Tell me more, Mitch.
Well, my favorite kind of sales that we have, Dalton, are the ones that our customers love the most, which is kind of two things. One is making it super simple without having to negotiate. And the other one's just, man, the big savings. And, man, this is a cool one, Dalton, because everybody's able to buy at GM kind of friends and family supplier price minus rebates. And I almost want to tell you, and I think I'm right, that every Buick and every GMC we have, this is the first time we've had this in 12 months, has actually got these kind of deals on it. So if you drive on my lot on Dolphin Street, Dalton, you'll see all these pink tags. You can't miss them. And you'll see savings like over $13,000 on Z71s, which is kind of crazy. And all our discounts, Dalton, are kind of different than our competitors. They're off the sticker price instead of some fake sticker price. And, you know, it just means that the savings are the kind of ones you don't want to miss out on. If you've got 1 or 2 months out of the year where you get the best deals, this would be, April would be at McConnell, one of those 2 months out of the year, Dalton.
That's some great news, and you definitely want to check out McConnell if you're thinking about grabbing a new vehicle. Thank you, Mitch. Have a good one.
Yeah, buddy. Y'all have a great one.
That's Mitch McConnell. Check out the website, McConnellAutomotive.com, and go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 8:38, FM Talk 106.5. We'll do a couple things here, take some calls and some text, and got a winner to celebrate as well. Who's this?
Yeah, going to see Jim Gaffigan at the Wharf. Daniel from Fairhope, congratulations. Picked up a pair of tickets, and that ought to be a knee slapper, they call it. Jim Gaffigan, a very funny guy.
Knee slapper.
Probably going to have sore knees after that concert from slapping your knees.
One of the dangers of a good comedian, sore knees.
That's right.
Who knew? Who knew? Give me a second here. I want to grab some text here, and then we'll go to the phones. On the text line, too, Terry, you're right. Terry says, possibly Jeff will keep me around as campaign manager because he'll need a fall guy when the FBI comes calling.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he'll probably keep me around just to throw me under the bus at that point.
How do you think you'll perform in front of congressional committees?
Probably pretty good. Yeah. Probably pretty good. I'll bring a roller cooler with some beers in there. Would that be pop up and be sipping on a beer like, hey, what's your next question? That's on my list of things. Also, it's a interesting story because there's two stories in one. And we had Kelly with headlines this morning talking about the Senate committee approving a bill. And Jeff points out that this will probably die in the House, but it goes to a bigger story because the Senate committee has approved a bill that would prevent cities in our state from being able to impose regulations on plastic bags.
Mm-hmm. Okay, big plastic bag getting involved.
Big bag, the big bag lobby, the plastic lobby. I am like not anti-plastic bags. Mm-hmm. Like I said, they serve so many purposes in life. You could use them as boot liners, keep your socks dry.
Yeah,
you could use them obviously as trash bags, dog stuff picker uppers, hats, rain hats like grandma's hair bonnet thing. You could use them as that. I use them as luggage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're perfect for that. Not only can you use them inside your boots, but if you're walking inside of a nicely newly cleaned home, you can put them outside of the boots.
If plastic bags would have been around, my grandmother, God rest her soul, would have been so happy because I've told you, in the farming household we had. And grandma's house had not only plastic covers all over the couches and everything, everything you sat on was covered with plastic. Also plastic runners that went down the halls and anywhere that she said we would tramp. She would say tramp, we would tramp on stuff. And so back then she could have just put us in, put plastic bags on our feet. We just didn't have them back then to walk around in. But my issue is and I hear what Jeff's saying, most likely this dies in the house, but this the cut and paste of this bill has come up around the country, and this goes back to a report out in the USA Today, along with the Arizona Republic and a couple other publications that did a deep dive, and they went and looked at bills, and they basically took the text of the bill, okay, any given bill, and then searched the websites that like Ballotpedia or whatever, different states have different places where they put bills online to be reviewed, whatever Senate bill or whatever House bill. And they overlaid it, and they found the amount of copying, that it's the same thing, was huge between bills around the 50 states, showing that think tanks, special interest groups were writing these bills, giving them to members of the legislature. And this is Democrat and Republican. This is both parties. Given that, and then these members of the House or the Senate in respective states were bringing the bills to the floor as their own idea. And this is one of those bills, they say it's coming out of the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is a big think tank lobby, ALEC, that this bill, this plastic bag bill, showing up around the country, not just here. So I like to point out when there's BS afoot, I'd like to just point out that there's BS afoot.
Yeah, I hate that so much, taking direction from outsiders and turning it into bills. You know, if they would do this with constituents, when constituents email them and say, hey, I would like you to consider maybe passing a law, this is affecting my life. It seems like sometimes politicians, maybe more than sometimes, care more about what lobbyists and big corporations want them to do than what their own people that elected them want them to do.
Or is it, yeah, it's that, and it's also probably some degree of laziness as well.
Yeah, I mean,
somebody
else
will write your bill for you and don't have to do it. Also, talking about municipal government, City Council yesterday, City Council meeting, a couple takeaways I had. Number one, on the annexation for Darby Creek to bring that neighborhood in to the city of Mobile, it was a 6-1 vote. It was interesting to me that Councilman Small, who was opposing this, the argument he made, now I wish I could play the audio for you, but the audio coming out of the live feed out of the Mobile City Council is as bad as anything out of a presser out of Montgomery. Mm-hmm. It's just horrible. But in that audio, you can hear chopped up there, that the councilman, basically the arguments he makes for not annexing in new parts of town are darn near analog to a illegal immigration debate nationally.
Really?
Hearing Councilman Small talk about it, to me, it rung of President Trump talking about the country's full kind of thing. It's just real interesting. But this annexation debate will come up a lot more often now with pulling back of the police jurisdiction for police and fire. So we'll talk a lot more annexation going forward. Also, what to do about gun crime, stolen guns in the city. That was up as well. And plus a bunch of ridiculousness at yesterday's council.
Well, that's pretty common, right?
It was. I mean, you know what? I will give blessings on all members of City Council, because some of the stuff they have to sit through and then say, we'll look into that. Wow. All right. Wants to talk about City Council. David's up next. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean. Before I talk about City Council, what it sounds like, though, is we need copy and paste legislation to ban copy and paste legislation.
Yeah. I'm with you.
So, but I actually reached out to my councilman yesterday about the annexation issue, and I asked him, I was like, is the standard going forward for annexation of neighborhoods going to be, if they're revenue neutral and they have overwhelming majority support from the neighborhood, are they going to be allowed in? And he responded that he was the only one that had any interest in establishing a standard annexation, and so there will be no standard going forward. So what it sounds like to me, it's going to end up being the wild, wild west Mobile when it comes to annexation.
Well, okay, so I don't know if you heard it, but I've referenced it a couple times. You can go back in podcast form and listen to it the other morning when Councilman Williams was on with Dalton and I. Thought he was real frank about it, and he said, hey, yeah, the Starby Creek thing is going to happen. He says the city is breaking even, maybe even by the projections, a little bit of revenue coming into the city from this neighborhood. He said outside of that, he said it's going to be really tough to have neighborhoods come in that don't have some retail component. And you know, that, I mean, he was just frank about it. Instead of, like, he didn't hide it in any kind of political ease. He said, you know, I just don't know that if a neighborhood wants to come in and get these services, if they don't have a retail component, how it's going to pay for itself. Now, you could imagine if the city's looking and it can figure out how to gerrymander a neighborhood, like somebody mentioned yesterday on the show, a neighborhood with some really big houses in it that have, you know, high property values, may be way more interesting than a neighborhood that's closer that doesn't have a retail component. So you could get a really kind of sketchy fringe of the western border of the city of Mobile.
I understand that, and I understand why they want to have that retail component, because you do want to have you want to have new parts of the city be able to carry their own weight when they mm-hmm. when they come in. But you can do that with revenue neutral annexation as well. So at a minimum, I agree with the council that that annexation needs to be revenue neutral, that the city doesn't need to spend money to bring in new areas of the at West Mobile. But at the same time, it doesn't just need to be, well, how much money are you going to make for us at the same time?
Right. I wonder if, here's the other way, the third way. I'll get myself in trouble. If they could talk to neighborhoods that want to come in and say, tell you what you do. We'll annex you in if you promise to use a very bare minimum of police and fire. Kind of like, you know, when you get like your vehicle insurance, your home insurance, you're like, don't claim that, man.
Mm-hmm.
Your rate's going to go up. I'm going to pay for the insurance, but I am not going to claim anything, so my rates stay down. So, okay, new neighborhood, you want to come into Mobile, that's great. We'll annex you in, but y'all only get one police call and two fire calls per year.
Yeah, only call us if someone's stolen more than a grand worth of your valuables.
I understand that, but you can't really do that. I mean, I know y'all are being funny and facetious,
it was a joke.
Thanks. Funny and facetious.
At exactly the same time?
That's right.
Go figure, huh? 847 FM Talk 106.5. By the way, did I mention, we're on a boat today.
Ooh.
Actually, we're on the battleship USS Alabama. The setting for an hour of Midday Mobile and an hour of the Scuttlebutt Radio Network. Looking forward to it. And a beautiful sunny day out there to do it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Y'all come see us, and we'll be right back. At 8:52, FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along. You know what feels great? Paying off high interest rate credit cards and getting a lower rate and saving money. All those are good things. Got some folks who can help you with that. That's the folks at Lightstream. Refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Get a fixed rate as low as 6.14% APR with auto pay. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees. Can even get your money as soon as like today, the day you apply. Plus, Lightstream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. Check out Lightstream and check them out right now, because you can get an additional discount. If you want to save even more, y'all can get an additional interest rate discount. Now, the only way to get the discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name. Their website, lightstream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, we'll grab some calls and some texts here as we wrap it up on a Wednesday for this show. But like I said, we were going to take the midday show live out to Battleship Memorial Park, and specifically, if we don't get high centered with the van.
That's a danger.
That's one of my worries. I've got one of those, it's not in my truck right now. I got one of the big jacks. It was either the farm jacks.
Uh-huh.
The big, because I'm worried about it. So you come up the gangplank, right? And then the deck, of course, of the Alabama is perfectly horizontal.
Right.
Pretty darn close to perfectly horizontal. So you come up the gangplank. So you have to make this pretty sharp, because it's a pretty sharp rise onto the deck. And as long as we're not teeter-tottering on the gangplank there with the van, we'll be good, and we'll be set up and ready to roll today, starting at noon.
I think if you get enough speed going up,
that's
the ramp,
a great idea. Great idea.
You'll probably just the gangplank right up there.
Yeah, and then just, you know, of course, you have one of the turrets there that's right in front of you as you come onto it, so it shouldn't be a problem. Yeah, I'll gun it. That's a great idea.
Well, I'm just
put some slick 50 on the bottom of the skid plate on the frame there, and then gun it.
I've been lobbying for a while now that we gather as many Sprinter vans in the county as we can and get a Sprinter van race going. So this will be just a great test of your driving ability, and then we can just take it from there.
Like Fast and Furious, but for Sprinter vans?
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
I think it'd be awesome.
It's a fantastic idea.
But I'm hoping you can get it up on the battleship, because the pictures, I mean, you shared a picture of your truck on top of the battleship, and that was truck commercial worthy.
Yeah, I'm hoping the Toyota folks pick me up on that. But We'll see. We'll get some more pictures of the van today, either high-centered or up on the fantail. Either way, we'll get those pictures out. All right, also on the show today, Senator Chris Elliott's going to join us. A couple bills move in right now in Montgomery. I'm going to talk with him about one you've heard about. WKRG's been reporting this morning on this this bill that would have builders, developers have to tell, to take into account how many kids are going to come to schools because they built new houses. Okay. In other words, to help counties and other places plan for the increase in demand for schools is going to be partially in the hands of the developers. So it's here's a story. Debbie Williams reported it first yesterday, said along the Eastern Shore, Fairhope, Spanish Fort, and Daphne are all seeing more than their share of new families moving in. Since 2010, that has translated into a 28% increase in population in Fairhope, a 26% increase in Spanish Fort, and a 20% increase in Daphne. It's pretty heady stuff.
Yeah.
Bill sponsored by State Senator Chris Elliott would require developers to consider impacts to school capacity when planning their projects. Says dial the school system in on what's coming early on in the process so they can better plan to make sure we have the capacity we need for the students that are inevitably going to come from those developments. End quote. $90 million worth of the new school construction currently underway in Baldwin County is struggling to keep pace with almost 5,000 more people a year moving to Baldwin County. What this does is, let's get ahead of this. Let's look at this beforehand so we can actually plan for growth that is coming rather than react to it after the fact, said Elliott. Educators simply want to be kept in the loop when huge developments are in the planning stages to help grow smarter, not just bigger. The bill is a local legislation pertaining only to Baldwin County. Now, this is back to what we were talking about earlier. Even though it's a Baldwin County bill, you have to do this legislation in Montgomery, mm-hmm. where our system works, to be able to make this change here. And it's SB 250 is the name of the bill.
So Chris Elliott's job will be making everyone else up there care. Care
That's
about
right.
what's going on in Baldwin County.
Yeah, but then, part of the way the political game is played, they need you to care about something that you don't care about, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to say, okay, I'm interested. Here's your bill about whatever's going on in North Alabama or East Central Alabama. Okay, I'm interested. I'll help you out here. Therefore, you got to help me out on my bill.
It seems to me, this seems like a more busy legislative session than we've had in some time.
Yeah, well, see, compared to last year, of course it is, because last year they were trying to, even though it was a little more contentious last year than I thought it would be, there's still, it was an election year, okay? So this is the first year of a quadrennium, so anything goes. Mm. If you want the voters to forget about things, you do them in the first year of the quadrennium. Right, and then you have the maximum amount of time to have voters forget about it before they go back to the polls, except in 2020. But we'll be at that point voting on things like Senate, for U.S. Senate, and maybe a lotto amendment, an amendment to the Constitution of Alabama to be able to allow for lottery, which that's a whole nother thing to talk about, which we'll do coming up today on Midday Mobile. All right, Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. Remember, podcast of this show and the 40 some odd hours a week of live local programming we do every week. Available for you. Front page of our website, fmtalk1065.com. Just click the podcast tab, and better yet, just go ahead and sign up for iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or TuneIn Radio to have those podcasts delivered to your smartphone. All right, deal. We'll see you in three.